this long reading from the book of Joshua, which finally results in the renewal, the ratification of the covenant, reminds us that fidelity to the Lord, obedience to the Lord, is motivated by gratitude. Even the model, this is some of the good fruit of historical research, we have models now of this kind of a covenant. It's called a Hittite suzerainty treaty. You can get to heaven without knowing that. But these models show us that the king of the powerful nation, who has just done something good for a lesser king, now binds him by covenant based on what he has done for him. I've told you this story before, but it's, I don't know why of all those things we had to study, the one I remember is between Shupiruli Dumas and Dupi Tesup. Maybe because it's so strange. But it's a wonderful example of I, Shupiruli Dumas, did this for you. When your brother was going to take the throne from you, I put you on the throne and I defended him, you. And all these things I've done for you. Now, the covenant is, if any nation invades me, you come to my help. If any of my slaves run away, you send them back. And the covenant. But the motive for the covenant, even among these Hittites, is gratitude. Now, the great scholars who worked on this, first you've got to learn all these languages and read all these, first you've got to dig them up, spotted this, you see. Now what we have today in the book of Joshua is the ratification of the covenant that was made at Sinai. And so how does he begin, you see? Far be it from us to forsake the Lord for the service of other gods. For it was Adonai, our God, who brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt, out of a state of slavery, and so forth. He performed these great miracles. So the keeping of the covenant is gratitude. And I could go on, but I think that's, you get the idea and you can study it yourself, you see. Remember, Joshua said, you're getting into a covenant with God. So you better be careful. They said, oh, we're ready, we're ready, we're ready. Well, they weren't very ready. Because from this point on, starting with Samuel, the Lord sent prophet after prophet after prophet to remind them, I alone am your God. And again, what I have done for you, and so forth. So that's why we have that long reading. Now, it's connected in a way with this short reading, where the very word of God himself tells us, to whom does the kingdom of God belong? To such as these. And who are these? The children. Now that doesn't mean you have to be childish, but it means you've got to see what God has done for you and respond wholeheartedly, trustingly. That's hard. We've all had some pretty tough experiences in life and we're not quite sure whether you can trust anybody. And the Lord says, look, can you trust me? That's what I did for you. See, when your life moves this way or that way, can you trust me? When I ask this or that of you, can you trust me? That's the heart of a child. Catherine Doherty loved this theme. And she had a little prayer she said all the time. Oh Lord, give me the heart of a child and the awesome courage to live it. Because it's a very harsh and demanding discipline on our incredibly blown up ego. We'll trust God so long as He's nice to us. But we just won't trust God. And so you see, this who had the most childlike heart ever? Jesus. And then Mary. They trusted the Father. And that's what it means, you see, that the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. It's a real discipline and a tough one. Why is it so tough? Because we're so mixed up. What does help a lot is that if we bring the children up in an environment that's trustworthy, helps a lot. Even then, the Lord says, you know, only in Mark, I guess, turn and be gone like these children. Have a conversion. So that's one of the reasons, as I see all of this starting to happen. I pray, as you've noticed, just as much as I can for the church. The church is the bulwark of truth. There's nothing Satan hates more than the church. And the whole church, of course, especially the saints, because they're his biggest problem. One saint can bathe this world in light, and he's the prince of darkness. The Mass, I'm saying, is Mary, Mother of the Church. And I just want to try to explain that. As you can see, there's three parts to this homily. Joshua, Matthew, and Mother of the Church. But what holds them together is child heart. Anyway, there was a big debate at the beginning of Vatican II. I was involved in some of that because I used to kind of be one of the whatever assistants, you know, counselors, whatever, to Cardinal Sunens, who was very much one of the four presiders over the council. And the debate was whether there should be a special document on Mary or whether she should be included in the document on the church. Now, there was a whole school of people who were saying, why did you bring that up? We're trying to be ecumenical. And the other group said, as soon as they asked me, I said, look, now that the topic has come up, to try to ignore it is to lie. And we can't do that. We can't present ourselves to Protestants saying, well, Mary doesn't mean much to us either. That's a lie. We can't do that. If we base union on that, it's over. Well, I wasn't the only one who thought that. So anyway, it was to include her in the document on the church. And it's a beautiful chapter 8 of Lumen Gentium. You should read it, and if you haven't, it's beautiful. But you see, our minds are so weak and our wills are so confused. There's a whole block of people then who said, well, Our Lady's just one of the disciples, you see. You know, I mean, she's included under the church. I mean, and that's why Paul VI wrote the encyclical on Mary as the mother of the church. And this Mass we're saying, you see, is expressing that mystery, that she's the mother of the church. It's the best way to have this childlike heart, is to hang around with her. She's tough. And she doesn't tolerate sin, but she's love. And if you want to learn, I have to quit now, but if you want to learn what it really means to praise God, go to her and ask her. And there's where you see a child's heart. Just watch her praise God. It's total abasement. She's a creature. And he's God. But from that total abasement, you see her with it, is coming love and joy and total self-gift. That's praise. You see? And no one praised or praises like Mary, a creature so grateful to God, so in love with God, you see, so joined to her son. So that's what we pray for if we listen to the gospel today. See, let the children come to me. Okay? The first child who comes is Mary.